Orange Theory's largest franchisee, Honors Holdings, filed for bankruptcy. There was no restructuring, no reorg. It was straight up collapse. This wasn't a red flag. It was actually a lighthouse set on fire. This isn't an OTF issue. This is a category failure. Let's walk through the battlefield. All right, welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today we're talking about the collapse of Orange Theory Fitness. Boutique fitness in general is collapsing, and it's collapsing fast, and no one wants to talk about why. So today we're breaking down one of the biggest unravelings in modern franchising. A brand that once ruled boutique fitness is now fighting for survival, Orange Theory. This wasn't a stumble, it was an absolute nosedive. They grew to nearly 1,500 studios. They dominated the market, printed cash. Now they're dealing with mass closures, bankruptcies, lawsuits, and a consumer shift that hit them like a freight train. Here's the kicker. It's not just Orange Theory. F45 is imploding. Cycle Bar shrank. SoulCycle retreated into the Manhattan bubble. Tidal Boxing flatlined. Flywheel vanished. The entire category, the one everyone thought was the future of fitness, is cracking under the weight of reality. So let's get into what actually happened, and more importantly, what it means for franchise investors. Orange Theory launched in 2010, and it was a brilliant concept. 1 hour workout, heart rate monitored, coach-led, high-energy workouts, a tribal gamified community. It was absolutely genius. The splat points, the orange glow, the scoreboard, the identity. For years, the numbers were incredible. Studios were packed. Franchisees couldn't build fast enough. Folks, at its peak, Orange Theory was opening a new studio every 2 days. Brands don't even see that kind of velocity, right? Unless they've tapped into something really special. But hypergrowth hides cracks. It hides cannibalization, and it hides early burnout. And eventually, the truth catches up. So where did it all go wrong? Here are four fracture points that brought the orange wave crashing down. First of all, the workout stagnated, right? It got boring. The treadmill, rower, floor, repeat. People loved it for a while, then the novelty faded, like many fitness concepts. Fitness consumers require evolution. You got to constantly be evolving the model. I'm amazed at how many brands have not figured that out yet. The workout didn't evolve, or it didn't even evolve fast enough. Number two, oversaturation killed the margins. Some markets ended up with 5 studios in a 3-mile radius. That's tight, right? Supply blew past demand. Average unit volume, AUVs, dropped. Profitability evaporated. Growth covered the mistakes until it didn't. What I mean by growth, I'm saying selling locations covered the mistakes of the model. Again, until it was revealed. Number three, massive franchisee distress. Now the headlines. Orange Theory's largest franchisee, Honors Holdings, filed for bankruptcy. They had $100 million in debt. They controlled 143 studios across 14 states. There was no restructuring, no reorg. It was straight up collapse. Unpaid landlords, unpaid employees, doors locked overnight, and they were liquidating locations. This wasn't a red flag. It was actually a lighthouse set on fire. Number four, lawsuits, consumer frustration. They had cancellation issues, auto pay complaints, class action lawsuits, high monthly recurring fees. When attendance began slipping, these problems became magnified. And suddenly the brand that felt unbeatable wasn't any longer. And it wasn't just Orange Theory. Boutique fitness is breaking in general. So this isn't an OTF issue. This is a category failure. Let's walk through the battlefield, starting with F45, the Franchise Implosion Hall of Fame. They peaked at around 2,000 to 2,800 open and sold studios across 60 countries. Over 1,000 of them were located right here in the United States. Today, fewer than 780. This was a publicly traded company. The stock tanked 90%. It obviously got delisted. Right, losses were $370 million over a 2-year period. Franchising paused. They needed to hit the reset button and figure out what went terribly wrong. Major celebrities like Beckham, Norman, Wahlberg sued the company. So this wasn't a stumble. This was really a free fall of the brand. Next would be CycleBar, right? The spin fad meets math. They peaked at around 259 open. Folks, they had 600 locations sold. Here's the reality. There's less than 200 open today. And hundreds, I just mentioned, 600 were sold, not open. Hundreds of territories sold will never open. The math just doesn't work. The average unit volume just isn't there. Flywheel and SoulCycle, they collapsed. Flywheel was backed by Jay-Z. Then it bankrupted. Over 40 studios shuttered. SoulCycle peaked at 100 studios globally, now under 60 in the U.S., and 40% of the 60 are located in New York City. I don't know if you're reading the headlines. New mayor, radical policies, ton of uncertainty. That's not a strategy. This brand has concentrated risk. Tidal Boxing, great brand, right? Great brand name. Tidal, the name Tidal. The Tidal Boxing Club, right? It just flatlined. It peaked at around 144 studios. Today, they float between 130, 145, even with everything that they've sold that was unopened. It didn't collapse. It just never evolved. And in fitness, flatlining is often the beginning of the end. The pattern's obvious. It's different brands, same story. Great early traction, huge hype, explosive growth, unit level decline, consumer burnout, trends begin to fade. People are too sensitive to even a small drop in membership. So these brands, if you think about boutique fitness, sometimes 100% of your profitability can come from 30 to 50 paying guests. Think about that, right? So as soon as you hit break even, you're like, all right, where's my profit? It could really be coming from a very small group of customers. So they're very sensitive to small drops in membership boutique fitness. It's too expensive. You look at Club Pilates at $300 a month. Orange Theory Fitness, $150 to $180, $190 a month, right? And then the system shrinks. So fitness is hot until it's not. And that's the way it's been. It's like a bell curve. And you got to be really careful getting involved in businesses that are trendy, faddish, and don't have a long runway of sustainability. The macro earthquake reshaping fitness, right? So let's talk about this for a minute. These brands didn't die because the workouts were bad. They died because the world changed beneath them. Think about that. And I've said this many, many times on episodes for those that tune in to the Pursuit of Profit regularly. Let's go to the number one issue that fitness is dealing with. GLP-1 weight loss drugs have changed everything. The Ozempics, the Wegovys, semiglutides, right? People are losing weight without exercising. This is not a trend. This is a category extinction event for any brand built on calorie burning, weight loss marketing. That marketing doesn't sell anymore, right? January, New Year's resolution, used to be the gold rush for that industry. Now it's just a shrug. It's not a big deal. Number two, convenience, commitment. People walk less, sit more. They say the chair is now the new cigarette, right? So sitting is the new smoking. People work from home. They're not driving across town to schedule high intensity training classes. Convenience killed intensity. Number three, the $189 membership died. Inflation squeezed the middle class post COVID. So think about this. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're listening and saying, that's me. That describes me. When in America, when a budget gets tight, when a household budget gets tight in the middle class, the rent will remain. Your mortgage payment, of course, will remain. Food will remain. Gas stays. Your Netflix stays, believe it or not. Netflix has been quite resilient through economic cycles. But boutique fitness, gone. It's like, don't need it. I'll walk more. I'll buy a treadmill. People will do different things. Which brings us to number four. The hybrid and the at-home revolution during and post-COVID, like Peloton, Apple Fitness Plus, right? YouTube, home gyms, smart mirrors. Consumers realized they could get 80% of the benefit of working out for 0 to 20% of the cost of a membership at a boutique gym. Number five, boutique fitness has really no margin for error. You have very high rent, you have high payroll, high equipment costs, high construction and build-out costs, high marketing costs. So again, one small dip in attendance can equal immediate distress to the business. This category wasn't always so fragile, but now it's truly exposed. So from my perspective, and I want to share this with the audience, Justin and I ran multiple gyms in New York, and I was never long fitness, right? It's always been a bell curve business to me. Our franchises in fitness that we invested in, they stopped innovating. Like most, they just don't innovate, right? The trend cooled off and every location closed. Fitness is the shiny new penny, right? It's the flavor of the week. Fortunately, we sold at the top, and that's advice I'd give anyone in a trend category, right? Know the bell curve, know when the hair in the back of your neck stands up and it's time to get out. So said differently, don't confuse staple with a cycle. Let me explain. Consumers have lifelong favorites. It could be a food category. It could be a song. It could be a movie that never gets old. Fitness is the opposite. It's hot for a year, then it's forgotten, right? That's the difference between a consumer staple and a cycle. And that's exactly why investors need a framework, because hype never tells the truth. Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising. So they make mistakes that cost them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. It is our proven six-step process at Franosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly. Let's take all this and run it through the lens of our book, Beyond the Brand. One, hype is not a business model. Crowded classes don't equal profitable franchisees. Remember that. Number two, growth covers mistakes. Meaning, selling franchises and seeing all the activity at the brand does not equal healthy average unit volume. Right? AUV is usually disclosed in the FDD under section item 19. That earnings claim's your best friend. I've always said that to my clients. Number three, class-based fitness burns out. The consumer burns out. The coaches are inconsistent in each location, and they burn out. The owners themselves burn out of the repetition of that type of concept. Number four, trend categories demand precision. Think about this, like spinning, row businesses, right? Rowing, high-intensity training, these boxing brands, they're all trend cycles, right? Trends, think about that. Be very careful when you invest in trends because they all lie on a bell curve. They're hot until they're not. Number five, fall in love with the numbers, the unit economics, not the logos, not the workout, not the brand, right? Margins, marketing, cash flow, community. Fitness is sexy, but sexy businesses can bankrupt you. So folks, if you're thinking about investing or you want help evaluating a brand, use the decision-making matrix in the book Beyond the Brand. It'll save you from buying the wrong business, or at least it'll thought-provoke you and align your interest or your risk tolerance with other opportunities. Or DM me and hit me in the show notes. All right, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.